so that when we get there, you can honestly say, Lord, have your own way. We've been doing a series on biblical principles of parenting. So this past week I was thinking, why don't we just talk about the first child ever born? Who was the first one ever born? Cain. If you're there in Genesis, you can go to chapter 4 and you'll find out about a man named Cain. And when you think about what has happened here in Genesis chapter 4, going back to chapter 3, you'll see that in chapter 3, Adam and Eve had just sinned. They had just expressed their rebellion to God. Sinners. Now, two sinners are going to try to raise a little sinner. This is something that parents need to understand. That little bundle of joy is a sinner. David said in Psalm 51, "In sin did my mother conceive me." And you may not see this right away, but I'll guarantee you by the time they're 9 months old, you're going to see it. You're going to see them expressing their will. You're going to see them wanting to have their own way. A little sinner. Cain is not the first rebel. Adam and Eve are. You want to know how to raise Cain? Want to know how to raise a rebel? Raise your child as if there is no instruction manual. Raise your child as if it's all up to you, and you can experiment the whole way along. If you want to raise Cain, do it as if it's all for you to try to figure out. You see, Adam and Eve had just struck out on their own. And they could have asked God. And maybe they did. I don't see any indication of that. But they had already demonstrated that they were more willing to listen to the devil than to listen to God, hadn't they? And so, they're raising Cain. Now that expression I'm sure you've heard. I heard it when my parents were bringing us up. What were you guys out there doing, raising Cain? And that expression is because Cain was the first murderer in the Bible, having killed his brother Abel. And therefore we use that expression, raising Cain, to describe acts of violence, criminal activity, or any other mischievous acts. I got that from the Urban Dictionary online. I figured the Urban Dictionary would know what they're talking about. And so today we have that expression, raising Cain. Well, if you raise your child your way, you will raise Cain. If you raise your child to have his way, you will raise Cain. In Cain's character, you see in this passage a terrible outburst of self-will, pride, and jealousy. Self-will. Have you ever been around a child who seems to have his way? What would you like to do when you're around that child? I know you want to take that child and give it to him. No, no, no. Get the parents and give them a whipping. Because that's where it starts. Dr. Greg McLaughlin, who was with us here this past January, speaking for the FBF, and he spoke here Sunday night. He took us to a restaurant, Juanita and I, to a restaurant. And we got into the restaurant, and right away he heard some little kids squealing. And this is a nice restaurant. And he was like, oh, brother, can we go somewhere else? Isn't that kind of the way you feel when a child is having his own way? Ironically enough, my wife and I were in that same restaurant this past week for lunch. And guess what? I think that same kid was there. Screaming, making noise. And the parents are sitting there like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do here. And therefore letting the kid have his own way. Today, you see a world full of kids who have their own way. They're raising Cain. The problem is not the child, but the parents who allow the child to scream. They're raising Cain. When the parents allow the child to have his own way, they're raising Cain. When parents allow the child to control them, they're raising Cain. There's no information on how Adam and Eve raised Cain. But we can see how Cain turned out, and we can get some idea of his rearing, perhaps. And there are some New Testament references, interestingly enough, that hint at his upbringing that I'd like to point out during the course of this message. So we may see how Adam and Eve made their mistakes, and every parent makes mistakes. But children and teens this morning, lest you say, well, it's all their fault that you are like Cain, let me stop you right there. Because even if Cain's actions were due to how Adam and Eve raised him, does that excuse Cain? It does not. In fact, who's the one punished later in this chapter? Who is the one who was set out to be a nomad, kicked out far away from the Garden of Eden? Who is it? It's Cain. So this message is not just addressing parents and grandparents this morning. This message is addressing children and teenagers who may be going the way of Cain. Interesting expression, the way of Cain. Would you go with me, keeping your finger there in Genesis chapter 4, and go with me to Jude 11. Cain is talked about in more places than in just Genesis here. Jude is warning about false teachers and false preachers, false prophets. Jude, the last book before Revelation. And he says in verse 11, woe unto them. He's talking about these brute beasts in verse 10. These false prophets and so forth. For they have gone, would you finish that with me? In the way of Cain. They have gone in the way of Cain. They've run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Interesting that Jude brings up three infamous people in the Old Testament. He talks about Korah, who was a rebel. He talks about Balaam, who was a false prophet. But there's another man, interestingly enough, that he brings up. Cain. And he talks about the way of Cain. And I'm going to talk more about that later on. But today, parents are raising Cain. Today, there are children and teens who are going the way of Cain. Would you like to be identified, teenager, child, with a man who had his own way? In fact, his way was named after him, the way of Cain. We might be able to say this morning, there's the way of Bill. I'm trying to think of names that weren't in here. There's the way of Horace. You know, they're going their own way. Look at him, going his own way. And anytime you see a child having his own way, you can say, he's going the way of Cain. Let's look at the way of Cain this morning. Let's look at verse 1 and let's look at Cain's birth. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, think about the birth of Cain, because I believe that with his birth came, number one, excitement. Excitement. Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman. Imagine being the first child ever born. There had never been a child born before. Imagine seeing this first child in world history. There were no other children. This is the first little human being ever. Imagine the excitement. Imagine the joy. Imagine how cute Cain was. And I don't say that glibly. I believe he was probably the most beautiful baby ever. You know, people always say, oh, such a beautiful baby, and they lie. This was the most beautiful baby. How do I say that? Well, Adam and Eve, I believe Adam was the most handsome man who ever lived. And I believe Eve was the most beautiful woman who ever lived. Why? Because there was no sin to mar them. Perfect specimens of what God had intended. And they had just sinned. And I believe that before the effect of sins had started its effect on their bodies, they were still beautiful people. And the two most beautiful people in the world gave birth to a baby. And I can honestly say I believe that baby was the most beautiful thing that you would ever see. Cain is the first try at parenting. There was no instruction manual like you and I have. There's no others to compare him with. There was no one who had this little book. What was that book called we used to read, Juanita? The first, what was it, as they're growing up? There's this book that tells, you know, here's how you change diaper. You know, all these kind of things, you know. I forget what it was called. And there was nothing. How to change diapers. In fact, where'd they get diapers? You know, you think this thing through and wow, this is the first try. This is it. And this little baby who's so beautiful cries. And how do I know when I'm supposed to feed him? You know, there's just no instruction manual. And yet, they're in the presence of God still. I mean, they've been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But if you go to verse 16, notice that Cain, after he had sinned, went out from the presence of the Lord. Well, what does that imply? That implies that he had been in the presence of the Lord. That implies that Adam and Eve had been in the presence of the Lord even after they'd been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They still had access to God, the Creator, God, their Maker. And they could say, Lord, what do we do here? This baby is crying all night. What are we supposed to do? We can't get any sleep. What would you have us to do? But remember, they'd already set the pattern for not going to God. They'd already set the pattern for listening to somebody else. And probably they think, you know what, we're not going to bother God with this. But they could have asked him. So in Cain's birth comes excitement. But secondly, Cain's birth, with his birth came hope. Why do I say that? Well, they named him Cain. And what does it say right after that? And said what? I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, when you see a little baby born, you say, wow, it's a man. No, you say it's a boy. You don't say, oh, it's a man. But it's interesting, that word man. It has nothing to do with child, has nothing to do with infant, has nothing to do with baby. It is the Hebrew word used in the Old Testament for a man. In fact, it's the word used for a man of nobility, a great man. And literally what she is saying, the idea here is this. Eve is saying, I have gotten a man, the Lord. Why would she say that? What is it that every Jewish woman wished she could be? We are seeing this in Daniel. We're seeing this as we're looking at the Antichrist and the fact that the Antichrist has no desire, has no regard for the desire of women. So adult Bible class, what is it? What is it there? What is it that Jewish women were so looking forward to? Do you remember? They wanted to be the mother of the Redeemer, the mother of the Messiah. Listen, the promise had just been given in chapter 3 and verse 15. What's the promise? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Some believe that Eve, by this exclamation, is saying, I have gotten a man. It's the Messiah. And so there's tremendous hope. They had just sinned, and they are hoping that this is it. You know, there's a lot of hope when a baby is born. Every parent has hope for the child. But I see too much that parents believe that if you're going to have a child who is godly, has good behavior, it's luck. When our boys were little, parents would come up to say, "Man, you're lucky." That's not luck. If you have a godly child, it's intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by chance. Every parent has hope. And I believe Adam and Eve did too. So there's Cain's birth. Secondly, we see in verse 2, Cain's occupation. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So to introduce Cain's occupation, the birth of his brother is mentioned. And his brother, Abel, is a shepherd. Cain is a farmer. Is any one of those occupations more honorable than the other? I don't believe so. Both honorable occupations. But the contrast is made there. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. We get into verse 3, and now we see Cain's worship. Again, both Cain and Abel knew the presence of the Lord. According to verse 16, when Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, it implies that he had been in the presence of the Lord. And the occupation of each of these men, now men, Abel and Cain, leads into an offering to God. By the way, it will do the same today. Your occupation will always lead into an offering to the Lord. So two things about Cain's worship. Number one, his offering. Well, his offering has to do with his occupation. And his occupation, as we see in verse 2, is what? Cain was a tiller of the ground. The very thing his father was sent out of the garden to do. Go back to chapter 3, look at verse 23. Therefore, the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So Cain is basically following in his dad's footsteps and doing what his dad has always done. Tilling the ground. And so little Cain is now growing up to be the Cain he is, and he is a tiller of the ground. Well, there is obviously something that God has set up where offerings would be brought to him. It is not specified, but it is implied that offerings would be given to God. Imagine being in the very presence of God. What is it that you do when you're in the presence of God? You worship Him. And when you worship Him, you're going to bring an offering. Part of worship, folks, is offering. That's why when you come to a worship service and you come to get, you are practicing deviant worship. That's why when you come to a service and you say, you know what, nobody else sings there. I wish I'm going to go somewhere where other people sing. No, no, no. Point right here. How were you singing this morning? How were you worshiping? Because worship always implies an offering. I will give of myself. Cain presented to God what? Cain presented to God the works of his hands. That which he had put much work and labor into. He could clearly say when he brought what he brought, look what I did. Look what I raised. You know what? I love to garden. And when you garden, if you don't till the ground just right, and if you don't weed it just right, if you don't take care of it, you're not going to have the giant pumpkins and the giant watermelons and the giant cantaloupes and nice beans and good stalks of corn and so forth. It requires much work. And by the time that goes, and if you eat something that's really good, you say, hey, where'd that come from? That came from the garden of such and such. That's how people brag today. Such and such farms. Oh, I'm going to get my stuff from them. Because it really talks about their work and what they have invested into this produce. I get the impression Cain was spoiled. I get the impression that he got what he wanted. He was the first one born and he had no one he had to share with. Why wouldn't that be nice? I believe Cain was always the focus. Because at first there was no other child. It was just Cain. He does all the talking in this passage. Have you ever thought to consider this, that you never have any words recorded that Abel ever spoke? Cain was a talker. And when someone else got the attention, other than Cain, he gets rid of him. Know this about the religion and the worship of Cain. Self-will is at the root of it. He will have his way. You see, Cain's offering was all of himself. The produce was the product of his own hands. It clearly came from his own labor. And that he offers to God. He really speaks of somebody who relies upon his own personal merits. Cain speaks of the one who thinks he can come to God and present what I have done and give that to God, and God is going to be pleased with it. That's who Cain is. In other words, Cain comes to God and says, here's what I've done. Here it is. This is the way I would like to worship you. I will have my own way. Well, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like you to go there with me. You're going to find out that his offering was deficient. His offering, we're going to see this also in Genesis 4, but his offering was less than what Abel brought. Hebrews 11, 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By the way, Abel offered his sacrifice how? By faith. Implying that Cain offered his sacrifice by what I'm doing. It's all of me. Abel by faith, Cain by works. And so Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Interesting that Abel is the very first one mentioned in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, because chronologically he was the first to exhibit faith in God, in contrast to somebody else. And the contrast is given here. The contrast is Cain. I believe Cain is simply imitating his parents, attempting his own covering. Think back. What happened in chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned and they knew they were naked? What'd they do? They went and got some leaves, some fig leaves. They got some produce. And how did they do this? They, on their own, had to sew these things together, and they attempted their own covering. Cain's simply doing what mom and dad did. In contrast, you've got Abel. And he imitates what God did for his parents. Verse 21 of chapter 3. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. They are clothed with what God provides, not with what he could provide. And anyone who is truly a believer is clothed in what God has provided, not in anything that you can produce. Do you see the offering of Cain? And why, as we read on in verse 4, Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, because Cain thought he was going to impress God with what he could do. And Cain speaks of every person in this world who thinks that by their own works they can impress God, and God will not accept it. But he will accept those who by faith come to him and trust in that which God has provided. So here in Cain's worship, you see, first of all, his offering. But secondly, you see his opposite, Abel's offering. And Abel's offering, folks, was all of God. You see, a young lamb is not the product of his own hands. A young lamb is something that God is the author of. That lamb's life clearly came from God. Abel never gave life to that lamb. And Abel offers it back to God. And that's what a believer will do with his tithe and with his offering. He will offer it back to God. Furthermore, out of his flock, you see in verse 4, Abel offers what of his flock? Firstling. Firstlings of his flock. And it goes on to say, and of the fat thereof. Their fat portions speaks of the choicest, the best part. And it also indicates that Abel did not merely dedicate this lamb, this animal, to the Lord. He also slew it. By faith. What is Abel looking forward to? What is Abel thinking in contrast to Cain? Abel is thinking of the Lamb of God. I really believe that he is looking forward to Genesis 3:15, that there's going to be a Redeemer coming and there's going to have to be some bloodshed. Abel gave what cost him most. He gave the firstborn. On the other hand, Cain merely offers the fruit, not the first fruit. He merely offers the fruit of the ground. Abel brings the best part of his flocks. Cain was not so particular. Abel went out of his way to worship God by giving him the best. Cain merely discharges a duty. Abel's heart is in it. And folks, there's this theme that runs throughout Scripture that God seeks worship that is perfect and costly. Remember when David was about to offer a sacrifice on the threshing floor of Araunah after David had sinned? And Araunah said, King David, I will simply give you this land. David said, no, I will not offer to God anything that does not cost me something. And so you'll see throughout Scripture that any time you worship God, God seeks worship that is perfect and that is costly. He is never satisfied with second best. I read once of the Butterball Company setting up a Thanksgiving hotline to answer questions about cooking turkeys. And this woman called in and asked if she could eat a turkey that had been in the bottom of her freezer for 23 years. The Butterball expert told her that it would probably be safe if the freezer had been below zero the entire time, for the entire 23 years. But he warned her that even if the turkey was safe to eat, the flavor had likely deteriorated and it was not worth eating. Here's what the woman said. That's what I thought. We'll give the turkey to our church. And we consider that amusing, and it is. But that hits close to home for some Christians, doesn't it? Because sin first shows itself in what you give to God. That's where it first reveals itself. Sin first shows itself in your worship of God. Abel, again, imitates what God did for his parents by providing covering for them after they had sinned. Sheep were used to provide clothing. Understand something. Meat was not eaten yet. No meat was eaten. Not until after the flood did God say that they could eat animals. No meat was eaten. So when Abel offered this to God, there was nothing that he got from it where he could say, well, now I'm going to get some nice lamb shanks out of this. This is going to be good. It was all offered to God. And the lesson which God had taught Adam and Eve was not to be forgotten. Atonement required the shedding of blood. There's Cain's worship. He had to do it his own way. Fourthly, we see Cain's rejection. I read verse 4, the first part of verse 5. Look at the last part of verse 5. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You know, some people think that as parents, their contribution to the world is to have children. Well, if that's true, Hitler's mother made a contribution to this world. But I want you to consider the divine commentary on Cain I've taken you to Jude, and I'm going to take you to Jude in a minute again. Taking you to Hebrews where it mentions Cain, but I want to take you to another passage that mentions Cain in the New Testament. The third one, 1 John chapter 3. Note what the Apostle John says in chapter 3 of his first epistle about Cain. 1 John 3, verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Who's the wicked one, folks? Satan. Who's the father of Cain? You would say, well, it's Adam, and you're right. But you know who his spiritual father is? It's the devil. Didn't Jesus once tell the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer in the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. Cain was of that wicked one, a child of the devil, the first in a long line of the serpent's seed. And again, you contrast him with Abel in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel is the first mentioned in the long line of men of faith. Abel in Matthew chapter 3, 23 and 35 is called righteous Abel. Abel, Jesus in Luke 11, 50 to 51 calls him a prophet. The name that Adam and Eve gave their second son, I believe, indicates their experience with their first son. Because Abel, Hebel, in the Hebrew, you'll find all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. Hebel, Hebel, Hebel. You know what Hebel means? Vanity. Why would they name their second son Vanity after having such a beautiful son the first time? Why would they say, this is vain? This is vanity. Well, if you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is totally frustrated. Anybody ever been frustrated with a child? And perhaps they're first frustrated with their first son. And when the second son was born, oh no, here we go again. Because their hopes for Cain were in vain. I believe Adam and Eve let Cain have his own way. And I think they're paying the price for it. Remember, Jude 11 speaks of the way of Cain as a way to avoid. He had his way so much that it becomes identified with him by name. By the way, what are Christians called in the book of Acts? They're given a name. Their whole, I'm going to call it a movement. It's not a movement, but their whole identification is called the Way. And so we've got to contrast the way of Cain with the way. And so we could call the way of Cain and contrast that with the way of Christ, the Christian, the one who was of Christ. This is the crux of the whole thing, folks. Cain had to have his way. Even when it came to worshiping God. I'm not going to have God's way. This is a huge issue. I'll worship God in my own way. You ever heard that? You go to work. Go worship God in your own way. You are following the way of Cain. We do not have the right to worship God in my own way. I had better do it His way. My own way means that I'm going to do what I like. I'll worship when I want to. I'll worship when it's convenient for me. And when I'm there, I'll do it the way I want to do it. Folks, you're walking in the way of Cain. Cain was probably used to mommy and daddy always complimenting him. So he always got his way. Well, we don't want to damage his self-esteem. And then when God, who cannot lie, is honest with him, Cain is like that little screaming child on the floor of Walmart, getting angry when he doesn't get his own way. How does he respond to God when God says, I respect Abel's offering, not yours? How does he respond? He responds just like the little kid in Walmart. He responds just like the kid in the restaurant. He responds like the kid, the child, whose parents have no control because they've let him have his own way. And folks, as we're talking about biblical principles of parenting, God wants you to teach your children to have His way. And that starts by mom and dad saying, oh, what, you're going to do what we say. You're going to have it my way rather than your own way. You know, coaches today don't like to recognize the best player. Everybody gets a trophy. In schools, oh, we don't want a valedictorian. No salutatorian. Why? Because that might hurt some of these other kids. In Kids for Truth, we always try to know we're not going to just pass out something and say, well, this person might get offended. Let them get offended that they didn't do the work. Folks, we're raising a generation of narcissists. Then when you try telling the generation of narcissists that they're raising narcissists, they get mad at you. David, King David had a son who exalted himself. He reminds me of Cain. His name was Adonijah. Adonijah assumed the position of the king. His brother Absalom had already been killed. When David was about to die, Adonijah goes around trying to make sure that he's going to be king. And there's an interesting statement made about Adonijah. Would you like to see what the Bible says about Adonijah? Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 1. Very quickly, one simple statement that made him who he was. In fact, this is the reason given, the divine reason given as to why Adonijah turned out the way he is. 1 Kings chapter 1. Verse 5, then Adonijah the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Here's the reason given in verse 6. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? His father never displeased him. His father never confronted him. His father let him have, would you say it with me? His own way. And now you see this man getting his own way. There's Cain's rejection, verses 4 and 5 of Genesis 4. Now we close with Cain's response in verse 5 in the last part. Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with his brother, with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. We don't have time to go into all the ins and outs of things that I would like to be able to say about this passage. I just wanted to see Cain's response. And his response, number one, reveals his relationship with the Lord. Folks, if God tells you something, if God shows you, I am not pleased with what you're doing, your response reveals everything about your relationship with God. Do you get angry with God when that happens? Then you are following the way of Cain. According to verse 7, Cain knew what he had to do. God gave him the solution. God gave him the way out. But he had been brought up thinking that he is the center of the universe. And when you think you're the center of the universe, you are in direct conflict with him who is the center of the universe. And you're not going to win. You can't have your way and win. He gets angry with what God requires. How foolish. How absurd. And yet that's what people do in worship today. They have the response of a Cain. And instead of humbling themselves, I've got to have my own way. It not only reveals his relationship with God, it reveals his relationship with his brother. What had Abel done wrong? What had Abel done wrong? How had Abel ever offended Cain? He had offended Cain by doing what God required of him. And folks, as a believer, whenever you do what God requires of you, everyone else who's going the way of Cain will get mad at you. And since Cain's problem is with God, he hates those who follow God's way rather than his own way. I read again 1 John 3:12. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You know, somebody may say, well, Cain became what he became because of his environment. Cain murdered because of his environment. Let me show you something. There was no violence in this society. There was no violence in this environment. Cain's heart merely showed itself for what it was by his behavior. So do you want to raise Cain? Then raise your children as if they rule. Let them have their own way, and they will go the way of Cain. So parents, children, teenagers, would you like to be like Cain? Then go your own way. Worship your own way. And break the heart of your parents who have hope for you and try to raise you right. The way of Cain leads to bitterness. And you can see that. You read the rest of the chapter. It leads to bitterness and it leads to heartache and heartbreak. And there are so many, even in good churches, who are going the way of Cain. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for every person seated here that none would be raising Cain and that none would be going the way of Cain. But Lord, I pray that if there be someone here who has been convicted by this message, that they would see that you offer them, even as you offered Cain, to, well, do the right thing now. And I pray that right now they would do the right thing. I pray for that child, for that teenager, possibly in rebellion, going the way of Cain, that as they are presented with the solution that you give, when you say, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And Lord, I pray that every one with a rebel's heart here would realize that if I just do well, if I do what God wants me to do, I will be accepted. And I pray that they would get right with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. With your